This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson talking a little Patriots football as we get back at Sports Talk following up the Jimmy Fund Telethon. Thank you again for your generous donations over the Monday and Tuesday affair. $5.7 million. Record setting, impactful for Dana-Farber. Awesome.
You were nervous we weren't going to get to $4 million.
I was.
With about, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours before the show ended yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't sure, you know, and then all of a sudden
You doubted our listeners.
Well, the momentum took off and people jumped on board, and it was like, you know, one of those old commercials. I don't remember, like the guys running down the road and then a couple kids follow and all of a sudden the whole neighborhood, like Rocky,
man.
Yeah, that's what that felt like is, you know, Rob Hale and some of those people kind of got the ball moving. They were running down the streets and then everybody just piled out of their houses
love
to join.
I'd love to train just one day. Just start running down the street and people just inspired by my running, so they join me.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it around here. Get out of the road, jackass! Trying to drive here. Your career ended 20 years ago. What the hell are you doing? Like, I feel like that would go really poorly for you.
And who says radio is dead?
But we're talking Drake May, because we kind of didn't have a chance to react to the preseason game on Saturday, then a couple practices. And as Dan Ball puts in our rundown, Patriots offense continues to string bad performances together, Fitzy. How you feel about that description? How do you feel about that description?
I didn't find that seems a little harsh, considering that there were some significant positives to come out of Saturday's effort, like Travion Henderson, 4 carries, 20 yards, and a touchdown, one in which he sheds would-be tacklers and motors his way into the end zone. Obviously, the Efton Chisholm performance as well. Drake May wasn't on his ass 4 or 5 times. Now, granted, he didn't even play a full half, but the offensive line wasn't as bad. As they seem to not practice well, but they've been a little bit better in the games. Now, I'm not sure how much of that is them going against ones or twos or threes. Will Campbell, your boy, looking pretty good out there. 17 snaps, no sacks. Looks great blocking in the run game. So I wouldn't say stringing together a bad performance. It wasn't spectacular. As far as Ted's question, though, about depth, have we seen any other, like, playmakers emerge? Has anyone else grabbed hold of the, I'm going to be someone you can look forward to both on the field and in the stat box this season? Because I haven't seen anybody aside from...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Just Henderson and Chisholm are the two eye-openers thus far.
I think Matt Collins is... I was a fan of Matt Collins because of his production in the red zone.
Yeah.
You see, he's a big target, right? I mean, he had 31 catches last year. 31. And 5 of them went for touchdowns. I think he's going to be an asset, particularly on third down. In the red zone.
Another name I would throw out there that has been inconsistent, and some of the inconsistency I think is because of the quarterback, Pop Douglas at times has looked like he might have playmaking potential, run after catch potential, and then you look at the game, and he was wide open, and Mac airballed him. It deflects off his hands. It should have been picked. That's a potential chunk play that, you know, could snowball for the positive that never happened.
Do you know how many times he overthrows?
Yeah, a lot.
You know, Douglas is not very big either.
No, he isn't.
There's something about, if you're going to throw to him intermediate, it's like, okay, he's not the biggest target. That's nope. All. You're asking Drake May to throw over big guys and, you know, over linebackers, but in front of safeties to a guy that isn't that big, you know,
That's the job.
I get it, but it's not, his profile doesn't fit. He needs more routes. Like, to me, Efton Chisholm, all he does is crossing routes. They're like 4 yards deep.
Yep.
It's the easiest throw in the world. And it doesn't matter if you're 5'4", you can still complete them.
And I did
But Andy, last year, I'm sorry to jump on this, like, this is the classic coming for me, but like last year, Justin Herbert, also a very large quarterback, correct?
Yes.
Yes, very, very tall person. Ladd McConkey is a whisker taller than Pop Douglas. Didn't have trouble finding him about, I don't know, 90 times last year.
I think he has a better reach, though. He's got a bigger
wingspan
and whatever, you know, just his arms are longer.
Catch radius.
I also think for me personally, Drake didn't throw the ball well the other day. There were completions that I thought were high. There was even Mac Hollins was wide open on the sideline, and he made Mac Hollins make a ridiculous toe-tapping catch when he should have just been, like, standing there and catch the ball.
That was the play where he actually had – it was
the backside,
sort of a busted cover. Yeah. Kyle Williams on the backside.
I'm just talking about the throw, though. Like,
made it
the guy's
than
wide
it
open. Don't make it that hard. Yeah. Hit guys in the hands. Hit them. I think even Pop Douglas referenced what you're referencing. Said like it was outside of my frame. Like, give me a chance to make the catch, kind of thing. Keep it in, because Pop Douglas can't do anything about his frame. Right? He is who he is. His arms are as long as they are. His body, his that ability. So it is a little bit on Drake to give him a chance, especially if that's going to be a volume target. You guys better clear that up. Otherwise, you may have some concerns. 617-779-7937. A lot of Drake May phone calls. Let's go to the lines now. Let's go to Mike in Hanover. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, hey, guys. I am just saying that I'm not, you know, denying he's had some ups and downs, right? But Drake May's 22, and shouldn't we have a little more patience with him?
I mean, we can. He's also the second-year franchise quarterback of the New England Patriots, who I'd ask you, let me flip that question around. In 2 years, when he's only 24, should the Patriots be like, well, we don't want to give you $500 million. You're only 24. We don't feel like you're mature enough for the money, right? Like, he is who he is. Age aside, he's in his second season as the third overall pick and the franchise quarterback for the New England Patriots. The job comes with responsibility and criticism and pressure and all those things. So I get what he's trying to say, especially compared to Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and those guys, Penix, who had all those reps in college.
Yep, they played 500 more games than Drake May did in college,
but
though.
But that's not the way it works. When you get to the NFL, you're a high draft pick. Nobody they're going to play you, right, anymore. And they expect you to do the job. Mm-hmm. If not the first year, then definitely the second year. He's in his second year.
I gave him all the breaks in the world last year because of age and other things. Didn't have the right coaching, that kind of thing. And so this year, no mas, no more.
Right. It's about bottom line production. And I think your guy, Vrabel, is about that. We've seen that very clearly. The first game, talking about the fumble, like he just kind of tells it like it is with Drake and the expectations. And he's not pampering him, no. Right? He's not treating him like he's only 22. So I get, no, he's treating him like he's his quarterback. Because as he said, the quarterback doesn't get days off. The quarterback's the leader, the face of the football team. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Our buddy Joe in Randolph. What's up, Joe?
Yes, howdy, boys. I've got a little concern about May. It seems that he doesn't do really well under pressure. And I think he's reminding me more of Drew Bledsoe than Tom Brady this year. And I recall that when Mac Jones came here, he was pretty darn good. He was highly touted. He brought the team to the playoffs in his first season here, and then the Patriots destroyed him. And now my concern is the Pats are going to do the same thing to May.
Thanks for the call, Joe. I think it's a little early in year two to be jumping to any conclusions, good or bad, with whatever Drake May is doing or isn't. We haven't played a game yet. He hasn't played, as Fitzy noted, played a game yet against ones. Like, I can tell you, Fitzy, why they are practicing worse than they play. Because in practice, Washington, New England, and Minnesota, they were going against ones. Will Campbell's going against Harold Landry and Milton Williams and those guys. Those are called ones. When they get to the game field, they're going against twos.
Twos and right? threes.
Twos and threes. Very simple.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say with Drew, you know what? It was visible how much the hitting got to him. I mean, off the back foot, patting the ball. There was clear physical signs that I think the hits took their toll. I don't see that from Drake May. I don't see him bailing out. I don't see him ducking like I used to see Eli Manning in the last 5 years of his career because he was getting hit. I don't see that. But I will say this. I think you can ruin a young quarterback. I think Andrew Luck got ruined by a bad offensive line. Hell, he quit the game.
Right.
David Carr was run out of football because the Texans gave up 72 sacks his rookie year. And you know what? When you get hit that many times early in your career, you're never going to be the same. So that is something to consider. I don't think we're even close to there yet, but that is something that fans should be concerned with.
And Fitzy, the good news is the bulk of the quote-unquote sacks that he's dealt with this August are fake. They are tap-off sacks.
They're faux sacks. Right.
Yes, but you know, I look at Andrew Callahan, 16 of 25 with 6 sacks. We seem to be very close to trending toward one out of every four pass plays is a sack, and that
okay,
is
okay. So let's say, Andy, in the real world, let's say when the pads come on September 7th, let's say half of those simulated sacks actually turn into sacks.
Simulated sacks made me laugh.
Yeah. if he's sacked 3-4 times a game, that's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Four times a game would be awful. 68 over 70. Sacks, right? 70
yeah,
sacks.
Yeah, four sacks a game would be 68. So
you're talking about a historic number that you'd be getting up to. My guess would be, based on last year when he dealt with a head injury and a couple other nicks, he doesn't get to 68 sacks, because at four sacks a game, he doesn't last long enough to play a full 17.
And it's going to be do your Dobbs, and boy, oh boy, won't that be fun.
And that falls in line with a separate issue that Ted has talked about, the backup quarterback, the depth in general, the backups, which is a concern.
Can I tell you one thing I think Drake May's looking good doing? One thing. Can you think of what that might be that he's done? Think about the Travion Henderson runs. There was a 3rd and 10 in there.
Yeah.
Check to a draw.
Oh, yes, oh, yeah. yes.
Taking the profit. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The old head.
Yep.
The smats.
Yep. So he sees two safeties deep, you know, check. You know, let's get a draw in here and let 32 go to work. So he has made some calls at the line of scrimmage that I didn't see him hardly make any audibles last year. He's already making audibles, which I know doesn't really, it's not going to blow your skirt up, but those are little wins. Those are signs of progression. From at least in this offense, when you see Drake May do that.
And a lot of the real offense hardos, quarterback hardos, will tell you getting out of the wrong play and into the right play are as big as anything a quarterback can do.
No doubt.
I would also say, for a guy who, even you have said this, Ted, like, Drake May right now is known for his physical traits, right? The physical things he can do. And if you're saying the best thing he's done over the last week, 2 weeks, is with his brain, that's probably a good evolution that Josh McDaniels is leading. Now, the other stuff has to be fixed. Like, bad decisions have to change. High throws. Like, a high throw over the middle in the NFL, in any level of football, is about as... That's going to be turnovers. That's losing football.
Drake May overshot Mac Hollins and Tavier Thomas. Nearly had the interception. 2nd and 10, you were saying?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. He's had a couple nair interceptions that dramatically change narratives this time of year. Because people just look at the stat sheet and say, oh, he only played two series and he threw a pick. Oh, he only threw two more series and he threw a pick. So that's part of it, too. He's avoided sort of fortuitously piling up the turnovers there. But I honestly, so I, you know, I'm taking heat on social media, Brian tells me, for my three-point stance, pushing the panic button on the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I'm not panicking on Drake May. Not even close to panicking. Is this summer going the way I would have liked it or drawn it up? No, I can't say that either. And a big part of that is the offensive line. Like, it's not even on Drake May. The sacks are on the offensive line. I don't think he's doing the Tim Tebow sacks where it's pat the ball, pat, oh my God, I don't know where I'm supposed to throw. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to run around, sack now. Most of his pressures and sacks are like, guy right off the edge, guy one move inside the tackle, guy one move up the middle. So that's not really on him. And I know people don't want to hear that. I know people don't want to hear that because you've already taken some heat on the text line for excuses and year one and different things for Drake May. But the reality is the reality. The pressure isn't all about him and his eyes. It's about the guys in front of him and what the hell they're doing. And that is where I'm consistent. Whatever I said, they're worse than last year. Phil Perry says they're atrocious. The offensive line. That is a fatal flaw. That feels like that could be a fatal flaw for Drake May and this football team. And I feel like, Ted, you're starting to trend in that direction.
Yeah, I don't think they're as bad as they were last year. That's where you and I diverge.
But is it a fatal flaw? Could it derail everything else? Are you worried it's that bad?
I am not worried it's that bad, but a bad offensive line will derail you. It's what derailed them last year. Mm-hmm. It's what I said would derail them last year. It's what did. The offensive line... Having a bad offensive line, it will F up your entire season, right? It just will – it's what's going to ruin the whole thing. And so if the offensive line is worse than last year, boys, this isn't going to be a fun season.
And if it is – does that affect the defense? Like if they see an offense that, oh, the first series that we had an incompletion, then we had a sack for 4 yards, now we had a little draw that only got 6 yards back and we're punting, does that have a – a weighing effect on a defense
as well?
It
sure can. It sure can. You know what? If you have a defense that knows that you at least, you know, the offense, let's look at the Chiefs last year. The Chiefs' offense, they weren't great.
No.
They were not great. Mm-mm. And they did not, they were down the list of, you know, when it comes to points scored and yards per game. But they all, the defense went out there and balled because they know they had a quarterback that at any moment, even though they went, had four consecutive three and outs, could just in one play turn it all around. And so it raises, you know, if the defense has got to believe in the quarterback, they do. And if the offensive line is so bad that the quarterback is can't function, then yeah, that's gonna eventually, like, that, you know, when the offense goes, you know, is only, you know, holding the ball for 24 to 26 minutes a game, and so the defense has got to be out there for most of the time. You know, week 6, 7, and 8, you're going to see a defense beat up and a defense getting discouraged.
Another thing that ties into all of that, Fitzy, generally, mm-hmm. is the kicker. And I'm wondering how we feel about the kicking competition, about the latest drafted kicker who had his attempt at a 57-yarder. So Parker Romo hit a 57-yarder, Fitzy, in week mm-hmm. one. We saw Andy Borgalis come on and not even come close
missed
to
by,
the offense.
A little bit more than that much.
Yeah
a lot.
So are they going to cut a rookie kicker? Because it feels like Romo has been the better kicker. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, why did he drop? Last year he was John Parker Romo. Why did he drop the John?
He wanted to change things up. It's
sure. Well, that's working because he did have, I will say, that there was a little bit of an issue because the second Parker Romo nails the 50-plus yard kick, steps out, and then tries to do one of those drop zone kicks, misses the landing zone, and so Minnesota got the ball at the 40. That's not great. That's a big mental mistake.
Hey, it's smart. You change your name. It's like, no, you suck last year. No, that was John Parker Romo. I'm Parker Romo.
I'm just Parker.
Yeah. You look an awful lot like him, though. Yeah, I hear that all the time.
You look like Scott
Parker
Simpson.
Romo right now is going to win this job, Andy. And guess what? They could be on the verge of cutting their third rookie kicker since 2020.
I feel like Borgalis is due for like a hamstring injury in a year on IR or something. I feel like there's a
Foxborough
flu.
I don't think they have a problem with letting, you know, not. A lot of teams don't feel comfortable with rookie kickers anyway.
Yeah. Remember, Tom Curran told us, the only good kicker is an old kicker, or however he said it.
That would be three kickers since 20. So every other year, basically, they're on average to drop a kicker.
Yeah. The only one that worked out was Gostkowski way back when. That's been a long time ago. 617-779-7937. Up next, we have some trade rumors or reports with the Patriots. Now, it's not the sexy ones that Fitzy wants to talk about, the McLaurins or the Micah Parsons or even a starting offensive lineman. But Andrew Callahan of the Boston Globe says the Patriots are shopping potentially a couple veteran defenders. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.